Thank organizers for organizing this wonderful workshop at PI. So today I talk about this title based on the ongoing work with Kanze Inamura, who's at the ISSBU Tokyo right now and moving to Oxford from September. And also, the work itself is largely inspired and based on Kanze's single cell paper, this one. Okay, let's start. Okay, so the general symmetry is one topic that attracting many attentions. By the way, the mic is working. So, the one topic that attracting attentions from the researchers of broad area, and one quick definition of that is defined by the topological defects you have in your physical system, and it's widely believed or accepted that it can or should be described by category or higher category. And so the quantum matter motivations to consider such thing is it enables us to, in some circumstances, enables us to classify the possible phases, and also enables us to come up with more new lattice models, for example, the anionic chain and or tensor networks that we've heard already in this conference. Okay, so as I said, the general symmetry corresponds to the topological defects. So in this talk, I focus on the 1+1 dimension systems, and in that dimension, the topological defects can be a line. And so such defects can be effectively captured by a category or monoidal category. So each type of topological defects are represented by an object in the category, and if you have two lines, then there can be an operator connecting the two, the topological operator here, and that corresponds to the homomorphism. So homomorphism in the category, and in the quantum world, this should be in the vector space. So this C should be a linear category. And okay, so the finite zero form symmetry in 1+1 dimensions is described by fusion category more precisely. And here I'm just assuming the semi simplicity. Okay. And one convenient perspective on the general symmetry is the so-called SIM-TFT, which is TFT lives in one dimension higher than the original system. In this case, the 2+1 dimension of TFT. And so given a fusion category, we can cook up a so-called Treif-Bilo TQFT based on the data of fusion category or string net model. And so that is a SIM-TFT. And then to describe the original 1+1 dimension system, we do a so-called sandwich picture. So this line, so I suppress the original 1+1 dimensional direction, and this line is three-dimensional. And on this line, this the Treif-Bilo theory lives on it. And this vector is just the trivial theories. And on one side, we put a topological boundary condition of this Treif-Bilo. And the other side is not necessarily topological boundary condition. And once we squash this sandwich, then we get 1+1 dimension system, and this is topological, so it's free to do that. And another thing about this picture is that, so then we can regard that the topological defects from the previous slide lives on this part, not that part. So we can separate this asymmetry structure from the rest of the non-topological dynamics of the system. Okay. And so there are choices of topological boundary condition here, and there's a canonical one given starting from the fusion category. Then there's a canonical topological boundary condition, but you can choose a different boundary condition, and that choice is one-to-one corresponded to the module category of your original fusion category, and that's also okay. So that's physically corresponds to the topological manipulations of a generalized notion of gaugings. Okay. So that's simplicity perspective. Okay, so far I've been talking about the bosonic systems, but the main purpose of this talk is to think about the fermionic system. Okay, so I personally thought, naively thought that doing fermionic system, we just move to the world enriched by the supervector space or z-degraded vector spaces. And so if you replace if you define the fusion category in the category of enriched by S vector, then you get what's called the superfusion category. But that's not enough to directly talk about the fermion parity of the system and its gaugings, some often called the bosonization of the system. So I will go into detail here. Roughly speaking, the supercategory should include two specified objects. One is a transparent fermion that is a world line of massive or heavy decoupled fermion. Okay, and the other is the fermion parity, and these two should satisfy a nice relationship, which is a subspecies of the six. Okay, and also there's an additional ingredient, which is anomaly of this fermion parity, and that's the anomaly of the fermion parity depends on the chiral central charge of the system. Okay, so this talk is about how to incorporate this data in the future. In superfusion category as an additional structure. The upshot, so in this talk I focus on non-anomalous case, or like the zero chiral central charge, simply because I did not fully understand the general case. So to be safe, I just work with a non-anomalous case, and in that case, to think about the symmetry category, the right language or notion is this z vector z2 central algebra. That is, so here, the fusion category, this is not subfusion category, but fusion category equipped with the functor coming from the Dirichlet center of the z degraded vector space. Further equipped with this uplift to functor from braided tensor functor from here to the Dirichlet center of this C underline. Okay, and I'm going to motivate this structure. But this structure is nothing but the data defining a one morphism in the four category of braided fusion categories. And from this object to that object. So this strongly suggests that we should be thinking about the 4D setup, because this four category of four category biocobalism hypothesis defines the 4D TKFT called Crane et al. Okay, so that's the upshot. Is there any question, comments? Please, Sage, please.
What is sigma?
Oh yeah, I was going to talk about that. Yes, this is additional data to the functor, but I'm going to talk about it. Yes.
Why is there nothing super anymore? Like what happened to super vector spaces?
Yeah, I will also come to how to go to the super board. Yes.
So this thing in parentheses, in big parentheses, supposed to be the correct analog of what in the bosonic case?
Oh, yeah. This is correct analog of the Trafibio theory.
Of what?
Of the SIMTFT data. So in the bosonic world, this have to be just the trivial theory and trivial structure. So then you're just having the data of the fusion category, yeah.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. Okay, so I've done the intro. So the rest of the talk, I first introduced this four category of red diffusion category based on the explicit description given by these authors. Then I will talk about this transparent fermion and fermion parity, and then go to the Crane et al picture.
Actually, I have a question about the last slide. Is this all related to the way to think of invertible zero-form symmetries in fermionic systems as having some bosonic symmetry and extending it by Z2?
Yeah, so yes, I also explain how to go to that process.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes. Yeah, so one can always, so in this scenario of this case of no anomalous case, then one can always bosonize the system and talk about the symmetry as a the data of the pair of like symmetry of bosonized system and fermionic condensation. And so that's a perfectly fine description, and there's a one-to-one correspondence from this to that. I will explain about that. Okay, and so the Brillouin diffusion category. So first I briefly mention about the Drinfield center. So given a fusion category, then there's a so-called Drinfield center, which is a Braid diffusion category, and its object is a pair or like object of the original fusion category and sigma x, which is a natural transformation of between the functors tensoring x, I mean auto functor of C that tensoring x from left and right, and the fusion is defined in natural way, and braiding can be also defined in natural way. Yes, and there's always forgetful functor, just picking x, forgetting about sigma. Okay, then, and with this description, there's a nice description of braided tensor functor from the braided fusion category to the Drinfield center of given fusion category, and that is a pair of tensor functor from B to C, and comes with this braiding data for each B in small b in the big B, basically this data. So the natural iso of the auto functors tensoring FB from left and from right. Okay, so that's so this is a sigma. Okay. So this Bullfuss is a rigid symmetric monoidal for category, and whose object is related to fusion category. And then the important concept in this full category is the what is Snyder et al. Called the B central algebra, and other also in other references call it the fusion category relative to B, and so there are many names. But basically, as I said, that's a functor from B to the fusion category equipped with uplift to its driven center. And that's defines a one morphism from this from the braided fusion category to the vect, which is a tensor unit. Okay, and as I said, this sigma is a data defining the braiding between the element of B and the index. And the one important and convenient notion to describe this four category is the balanced tensor product, which is just a simple analog of tensor product in the usual algebra. So so B op is the braided fusion category with the opposite braiding, and given this and that, then one can define tensor product of two central algebra, and this is a fusion category. Okay. So one can regard this C1 and C2 as the module category of B, and then one can define a vector space by a usual tensor product, Drinicki tensor product. So that's just by introducing the standard identification. But then this central algebra structure, or like the uplift to the Drinkwitz center, enables us to define the monoidal structure on this linear category. Okay, so that's naively defined like this. But this sigma guarantees that this definition is consistent with this above identification, and also like if we go to the skeletal category, then it also like this sigma defines the F symbol. Okay. So these are called so this is coming from central structure. Okay. Okay, so then the one morphism between two braided fusion category in this four category is central algebra over this thing, and naturally this balanced tensor functor defines a composition between two such central algebra. One can check that this inherits this thing, the image of this inherits the B1, B3 central structure. And in particular, the identity is naturally coming from this map, where the sigma B is the original braiding equipped with B. And then the two morphism between two central algebra is by module, but they'll be coming with a central structure that consistency with teaches the consistency data with the overarching structure of coming from the braided B1 braided fusion categories B1 and B2. Okay, and the vertical and horizontal compositions are again defined by a balanced tensor products, and three morphism are functors between such bimodules, and four morphism are natural isos between functors. So this is a rough description of for the four category, which I'm going to use. Yeah, I'm switching to the physics then. So is there any question about this mass? Okay. Yeah, the important stuff is this balanced tensor product. Okay, then going to physics. So when we talking about the Feynmanic system, then that we naturally can suppose that it contains a heavy Feynmanic excitation that decouples from the IR. Or in more high energy context, we can also think about like very heavy probe particle that can probe the system. Okay, and so it's natural to expect that the system has a defect, which is nothing but the wall line of such an excitation, excitation. And so that's transparent because it's by def decoupled from the system. And so in particular, if you have a other topological defect, and then this transparent guy just should go through it transparently, and that in category theory language there should be morphism from the pi tensor A to A tensor pi. So that's and it should be iso because this is transparent. Okay, so this is one braiding data. And also like it can pass through with each other and this pi should be a fermion, so this is minus one. In other words, this braiding data, if braid with itself, should be minus one. So this naturally leads us to think about the aspect underlying central algebra. This aspect underlying is underlying category, underlying bosonic category of the supervector space, which is just a z-integrated vector space with this braiding. So, this. Okay, so that should be the part of the structure. Okay, and so this already captures the transparency of pi through the other defects, but that does not capture the transparency to the local dynamics. Then to do so, we also want this pi has an odd isometry from the tensor unit, and to achieve that, of course, we have to enrich over aspect, and that can be achieved by basically just phase change. Okay, so here, in this formula, I just goes to the aspect enriched world and regard these bosonic categories as like supercategory, but whose morphisms are concentrated on the even degrees. Okay, then I can do this construction to define a supercategory. Okay, and this is this structure of like coming from this SVEC central algebra is already introduced in the literature and called the monoidal pi supercategory. So this is a known notion, or a well thought notion. Okay, but I also want to include the fermion parity. And again, this fermion parity is something geometric, so I want it to braid with, like specified, have a specified braiding with other defect. Also, so here, I'm just assuming the known this thing has a known anomalous. So it's just this equation. And if it's anomalous, then there has to be a phase here. And that, yeah, that can also be done. But here in this talk, I just assume that it's no anomalous, then there shouldn't be any phase here. And also, like, this, it should satisfy the spin statistics. So if it braid with pi and pass through the odd isomorphism, you should get the sign that indicates that this braiding is non-trivial after composed with zeta. And okay, so that requires us to have these data, and yeah, this is a braiding with a minus 1 to the f to other thing, and braid with itself is trivial, and not trivial braid with pi. Okay, and this structure leads us to like this braiding data is nicely captured by the Dirichlet center of vector z2, or the toric code. And so this is nothing but the anion data of toric code, and has four anions. One is fermionic, other two are bosonic. And naturally, this fermion one is identified with the transparent fermion. And this one of the bosonic one, by convention, I choose that to be E, is regarded as the fermion parity, and the M to be the composition of the rest. Okay. Then, so that's the, so I claim that's the structure to that should specify the symmetry in the 1+1 dimensional fermionic system. And so if you want to go the super vector space world, we can tensor the z2 graded. So this is mass BVZ, z2 graded vector space, a super vector space, and tensor over this stuff, and we can get the original, the super fusion category. Okay, so that's.
I have a question.
Yes.
Since here you are treating the fermion and fermion parity, like the road along the fermion and the fermion parity on the equal footing, because usually if you have a symmetry, like I would say, like you either choose like if you have symmetry G, you either choose the symmetry to be rep G or bep G, but you don't put them together. Like you either choose the symmetry action or the charges of that symmetry as a fusion category. But why is it here that you have both? You have the road along of the fermion, and you also have the fermion parity.
Oh yeah, so here this pi is not so pi is treated as a probe, not the it might be confusing, but pi is treated as a defect of like with infinite energy. I'm talking about the low energy physics compared to this excitation is going around. So I'm treating this as an infinite energy, and in that context, this transparent fermion has to be treated as a like the defect or a world line or anion. Yeah.
Excuse me. Explain what this data reduces to in the case when you're dealing with invertible symmetry.
Sorry, yeah.
In case when this all symmetry is invertible, what does it become? This z vector, z2 central?
Yeah, I haven't thought about it. Like, just thinking about the minus 1 to the f which this simplest case is just thinking of a minus 1 to the f, and in that case, c buys the vector z to itself. So that's the minimal data. Otherwise, yeah.
We expect just some group, which is a distinguished zimuth 2.
Yes, yeah. But it should also be specified with the sigma data fit. I do not know such uplift is unique or not.
Because in variable case, we think we know what it is. It just is one that reproduces.
Right. Yeah. I cannot immediately answer that in general invertible case about this data. Yeah. Other than saying this. In particular, I do not know whether this uplift is unique or not. Yes.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand the f. So if we try to add -1 to the f as some line operator, like some in C itself, is the problem that that's an order 2 thing, so it cannot have fixed points on the fusion with other lines. But this f allows you to do that somehow.
Still, this f has to be tensor functor, so it's just -1 to the f still squares to 1.
When you had a junction of -1 to the f with another line, you always want that line to be preserved, right? You don't want to change that line under fusion with. Is that the diagram that you had earlier?
Is this picture? Or?
Yeah. Yes.
There should be like specified morphism from here to there. So that's encoded in this.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, as I said, this leads us to the four-dimensional picture, because this is brute force is a four category, and so as opposed to the usual symmetry TFT picture, which is 3D. Okay, so there's even one dimensional higher. Okay, so Kobori's hypothesis assigns such rigid symmetry, the object of as rigid symmetry model for four category to TQFT, and which is called the Crane ghetto. And by the cobordism hypothesis with the singularity, given a one morphism from B to the tensor unit, it should define boundary condition. Yes.
So on the previous slide, that you're considering, like, it's always the case that the C is kind of just stacking the fermion 1F with something?
Oh yeah, not always. It can there can be, for example, the object of C buff, which is extended by -1 to the F, so squares to -1 to the F, and that's also fine.
Right, but on the when you say C equals S back, line product with this. Okay, I see, because the subscript on the product means that there could. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This means that, this data is nicely fused with this. So, yes. Identified with this. Yes. Okay. I was talking about cobordism hypothesis. So, and that assigns one morphism from B to the tensor unit, that defines the boundary condition of Crane ghetto. If you have two morphisms between the one morphisms, then that defines that should define a boundary interface, blah blah. In the condensed matter context, this correspondence is well described in this literature, including Fiona. So just highlight it. And so in our context, I'm talking about this particular braided fusion category, so this is a particular Crane ghetto theory. And the superfusion the type of superfusion category is given by, for example, by this tensor product, which is a composition of in the four category. So in the picture, it's like we have in the bulk 4D we have this Kronecker theory, and we have on one side we have boundary conditions specified by the central algebra, and on the other side also we also have another boundary condition and just squash and that defines this C. And yes.
Sorry. So just maybe to make sure I'm on the same page. So let's take a simple example. Like let's take like the U1 level 3 theory that Carolyn was talking about yesterday. So then can you just like quickly say like what's going in the bulk and what's going in the back? Because you know like obviously this is a bosonic extension of the theory, but then you know you get these like you know it's got this Z2 gauge theory in 3D, and so I'm not quite sure I understand how you're eliminating that.
No, it's about C minus equals zero.
Okay. Yeah. Here. I'm. For this thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. C minus equals zero. I can. Yeah. In the later slide, briefly, I will talk about how to go to the C equal non-zero case.
But here. Maybe even in that case, we might just take that theory and its time reversal conjugate and just.
No. Exactly. Yeah. Let me talk about the anomalous. If you want to talk about the anomalous case, then can I postpone? I will introduce what to do with the anomalous case. Here it's the C is on the one side, and the other side is almost trivial thing. So it's like, yeah. So yeah, this thing is also like almost trivial. So I'm talking about like how to precisely deal with this very small set of data.
There's also a question online.
Yes.
What is S vector Z2?
Oh, yeah, so S vector Z2 is a Z2 graded supervector spaces. So that's includes the trivial tensor unit and pi, which is the odd vector space, and also like not the vector space with Z2. Non-trivial gradient and the tensor product of the odd vector space and the additional Z2 gradient vector space. So this thing has two Z2 gradient. One is coming from S and the other is dangling around. Okay. Okay. So doing this, we get the C. And this is like C labeling the 3D surface. So yes.
So the C and S vector Z2, those are both braided as well because they're 2+1.
Oh, sorry. So C here the trifilial. So as an anion data, it should be like Greenfield center of C.
But the two boundaries of the Kronecker, those are both braided.
And that's also like Dreamfield, you should regard this as like there's anyon living on boundary, and that's described by the Dreamfield center of C bar, but some of them can go inside, and that's specified by the braided tensor functor from this thing to that one.
So when you're describing a fermionic theory that's just bosonic stuck with trivial fermionic, then the bulk is trivial. The Kronecker is.
No, here, okay, I still haven't go down to the 2D. This is 4D, 3D picture. I will go down to 2D picture. And yeah, but this thing is non-trivial. This thing is needed to describe this spin statistics.
Okay.
Yes.
So I just want to understand if the following picture is correct. So one thing I can say, you know, I have a category, you know, that has this transparent fermion, right? And I can do what Carolyn mentioned yesterday,
yeah.
Right? Which is kind of embed that in a bosonic category. And roughly speaking, what happens when I do that is that, you know, this fermion is no longer transparent because there's some kind of flux that it braids with, right? And so, like, is
yeah.
a correct interpretation of this picture that basically the top has that bosonic theory, the bottom kind of just has the fermion and the flux, and then you're somehow, like, sewing them together in such a way that those flux excitations are no longer there.
So yeah.
Parity.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Doing the next slide.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. So, yeah. So here, I just wanted to say that by squashing, after squashing, we get some superfusion category, and leveling 3D surfaces should be regarded as a Trefbier theory or Feynmanic Trefbier theory introduced by Lakshar and Lavide and Anton a while ago. And okay, so that's the thing. Now, one thing I haven't said is that actually this thing is trivial or equivalent to the trivial theory. And so for if this braided category the, as an object of the first is a dream field center of something, then it's equivalent to the tensor. And the equivalence, one morphism is the fusion category itself. And so that means that starting from this picture, I can create a bubble of trivial. This is trivial, actually. So just there's just invertible interface between the trivial. Okay, and just enlarge this bubble and to eliminate this 4D fluke. So this thing is actually just a fluke, and but we get this here. Now, in this picture, so C is the superfusion category. C sub B, is defined by, so this is a bosonic category and defined by this tensor product. There's no S here. The difference between C and CB is that whether we have S here or not, but this that also interferes with the central structure, so slightly non-trivial thing is going on this circle dot. But anyway, what we see is that this CB tensor aspect is Morita equivalent to C. Okay, so that's a precise relationship between like just starting from this another bosonic computed bosonic thing. This sometimes called bosonic shadow, and starting S vect and condensing it, and you get the Feynmanic Trefbier. Okay. So this is a more conventional picture. Okay, then going to the SIMP TFT perspective. So the correct picture, I think, is this. So I further attach the trivial 3D TKFT here. On one side, I demand this to be the topological. The other side is not necessarily topological to describe not necessarily the topological one person in the system. Okay, and I can just move this aspect around here, then in between we have the Trefbier of the CP, the symmetry of bosonized system, and this topological boundary interface to this aspect, and the other side we have not necessarily topological interface to the trivial side. We can go back to the 4D picture and just reintroduce this trivial equivalent to trivial thing in this picture. Okay. So that's also fine. So this is a more conventional picture, but just bosonize the system and then describe this Feynmanic symmetry as a Feynmanic condensation happening inside CD. Okay, so that's the more conventional picture, and that's equivalent to this thing. And the virtue of this picture is that C bar directly includes the pi and minus 1 to the f, as opposed to C. In this picture, this information about minus 1 pi and minus 1 to the f is embedded in the data of Feynmanic condensation, but we can use this pi and minus 1 to the f is in equal footing with other defects. So that's this. Okay. Then for example, to describe this topological manipulation of the fermionic system, to study it, it's the same thing to study this two morphism in this four category. This particular two morphism. Okay, and so I'm talking about no anomalous case, so we can also think about the gapped phases. We see action that potentially spontaneously break this some part of C, but demanding that the system does not break the minus one to the F, because that's a 2-pi rotation. And such thing is noted by in particular in this paper that like classified by the bosonic condensation in CB, the symmetry of the bosonic system. And in creating it a perspective, it's just the same data is captured by the two morphism in the braided foss. Four category of braided fusion category. So that's a more direct way of describing the data. Okay?
Sorry, I have a question.
Yes.
So usually when I think about symmetry total field theory, I think of like, for example, 2 plus 1 D bulk that has a braided fusion category, and on the boundary you have fusion category. But here, why this CB in the middle is a fusion category?
Oh, yes. So as an anion data, you should think it as a the Drinfield center of
CP.
Yeah.
And when you say bosonic condensation in CP, you also mean condensation in the center of CP.
Yes. Okay. So the C equal non-zero case just replace this stuff to this particular module tensor category. Oh, sorry. I left this subscript here. This means a representation category of Kotz-Moody of spin 2 C minus with level 1. I should have written level 1 here. For small C minus, this doesn't really make sense. So for 0, C minus equals 0, it should be regarded as this. C minus is half, then this thing should be regarded as Ising. For negative color central charge, of course, you should regard it as a braided opposite. And okay. So then, the consideration is the same. Going back, just the difference is this diagram, and instead of having non-trivial braiding with this minus on TDF should have a correct feature that's captured by this thing. Yeah, and I should have cited that this stuff with one here is a symmetry TFT for the right moving fermion, and pointed out by the Justin and Davide. So I should have cited. And yes, so that's the correct thing to do. Okay. Okay, so I have a little bit of time, but I think I'm finishing. So the fermionic symmetry can be directly described by this central algebra structure, and that's can be regarded as a one morphism in the four category of braided fusion category. The bosonic shadow of the fermionic symmetry can be in this language naturally described by the composition in this four category, and the graphical calculus based on the four category shows that this is the superfusion category is more equivalent to the bosonic shadow box tensored with the supervector space. And yeah, the cobordism hypothesis leads us to this 4D picture, and it should be straightforward to generalize it to the anomalous case. Let me finish by briefly pointing out some prospects or applications. So one thing is a fermionic anionic chain with a specified spin statistics relation. That's one thing. Also, like this kind of picture should be possible to be generalized to higher dimensions. Because I haven't seen the explicit description of like five category of something, but it should be kind of straightforward. Also, like thinking about like I was talking about the Z of very particular braided fusion category, but one can also think about other braided fusion category, and that, for example, should capture the system with para fermions. So that's some direction to go. And thank you for listening.
In the context of bosonic symmetry, we also have gravitational anomalies. So how does that gravitational anomaly play a role in, for example, in the 43D2D picture that you described here?
So that's a nice question, and that's the precise part I'm struggling with, so that I avoid to talking about. It's in this four category. In my understanding, does not include this invertible theory or the EH phase so it's a bit the wrong place to talk about that. So I'm not sure how to square it. Yeah, like hopefully we have the universal target category of TKFT, and within it. Maybe, yeah, we can talk about it in a precise manner. Yeah.
So in the bosonic case, you mentioned this correspondence, like one-to-one map between possible gaugings in the boundary and gap boundaries in the bottom. So in the fermionic case, does that hold?
In the fermionic case, actually, the two does not. There's a small discrepancy. This is precisely because that we have to ensure that this minus 1/3 F is not spontaneously broken, because it is a 2-pi rotation. So, I mean, if you assume the relativity in the long range, but that's what I'm assuming. So there is a slight discrepancy of this between the circle box and square box. Yeah, and that's. Yeah, so this guy is specified by this, and the circle is specified by that, and the discrepancy is you have whether you have S or not. Yes.
Given a regular bosonic symmetry group GB, we have an element omega 2 which belongs to H2 GB in the coefficient Z2, which characterizes how GB interplays with minus 1/2 F. Given us, for example, the Drinkville center of some fusion category, is there a similar cohomology classification of how it enters intertwines with minus 1/2?
So that's a question about how to compute with this this thing, or like how to classify the in general just the module category, and I do not know the. For non-invertible case, I do not know the cohomological way of doing it.
So maybe another question is, you talk about anomaly or fermion parity alone, but if you have other symmetries, you can also have mixed anomaly between.
Yeah, that's also, that should be a part of the data. Even like the safe anomaly is non-trivial, but this thing can have the anomaly with other symmetry, and that can be captured by this structure. Yes.
Any further questions? If not,
May I ask one?
Yes.
Okay, so how essential is the 4D here, because if for s equals zero, I guess the 4D is kind of trivial.
Yes,
or...
4D is trivial. So I've been talking about the actually trivial thing, and yeah, so I believe that but this perspective enables us to directly talk about C bar in like fermion parity in an equal footing with other symmetry, the finite symmetry. And of course that's
right.
Equivalent to talk about the symmetry of bosonized system. So this is just a matter of convenience in one perspective, but I think still good to have direct perspectives.
Yeah. Okay, and I guess so the kind of the point or something that's really different from the bosonic case is the bosonic case you want your symmetry TFTs to all have C equals 0 mod 8. But for fermionic, you allow C equals 0 mod 1/2. And that's kind of where the 4D comes in.
Yeah, so that's also like where the 4D should come in. I agree. But yeah, right. Yes, it should be where the 4D comes in, but I cannot. I do not fully understand in the anomalous case, so I have to admit, and that's, yeah, there's a bit of inconvenience in this four category because it doesn't include E8 phase or like invertible phase in the 3D. So yeah, but I hope that's something technical, but I cannot provide a full answer. So.
Okay, thanks.
Yes.
Doesn't seem very easy because you suggested that you need to replace this vector Z2 with this representation category spin group.
Yeah.
There's an infinite number of.
Oh, sorry. That was typo. Yeah, that was crucial typo. I should have said. I should have included the one here. So it's just. The representation category of integrable representation of the affine algebra. So that's a small thing. Yeah. That's very confusing here. Yeah.
All right, thank the speaker again.